You would turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to complete our look at chapter 5 this morning. We're going to start our reading in verse 22, and we'll read through the end of the chapter in verse 33. So that's Ephesians 5, 22 through 33, and we'll be specifically looking this morning at verses 25 through 33. But before we read, let's come before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we open your word this hour, as we hear it read, as we study it, as we look to our beloved Savior Jesus, Lord, we pray that through the work of your word and your spirit, that you would open our hearts. That yes, there are duties for a husband in here, but what we see is the love of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to that reality this morning, that we would grow in our faith, that we would long to have a closer relationship with you this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. May God add blessing to his holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Well, dear congregation, last week we began to look at this very controversial section of verses in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And the reason why these verses are controversial is because they deal with Christ-like submission. And submission has become a dirty word these days. And the reason for this is that no one wants to see themselves as subject to another. Everyone wants to be their own boss, if you will. Authority and submission are hotly debated topics. We see that from the U.S. aggression to the world, saying they're going to take over Greenland, Canada, Venezuela. I wrote this before. This even happened in Iran. Iran, Gaza Strip, whatever. We see authority and submission are hotly debated when we talk about racism, slaves and free. We see authority and submission hotly debated in the feminist movement. But the problem with all these debates is this. Never is authority and submission looked at from a biblical Christ-centered standpoint. From a fleshly point of view, submission means to have all your rights taken away. And authority means a supreme authority and power where you rule with absolute authority and there's no room for dialogue or compromise. Last week we began to look at this topic and we looked at Christ-like submission. We looked at the God-given role that has been given to women as wives. Wives are called to submit to their husbands in everything, just as the church submits to its head, which is Jesus Christ. And what we saw last week is that biblical submission has nothing to do with being a doormat for your husband. Biblical submission does not mean giving up your gifts. Biblical submission does not mean you have a reduced status in the kingdom of God, nor does it mean that you are a lesser person. It's a role that God has given you. Just as each person of the Trinity has a role. Jesus is the Son of God. He is God, no less than the Father in any way. However, in his role as Son, he submits to his Father. Just like the Holy Spirit is not the Son and he's not the Father. But he has a role that he fulfills. The God-given role to a wife is to be a helper and to make the marriage union complete. The two shall become one. Keeping in mind that without you, your husband is not complete, and vice versa. Now, I should note here, you are not incomplete if you are single or widowed, but we're talking about inside of the marriage union. The husband does not stand on his own, and neither does his wife. And the most important key to biblical submission is this. You're not submitting to your husband because he's better than you in any way. You're submitting because of your Savior. He has commanded it of you. And Jesus did not see it a sin for even himself to submit to the law, his Father, the civil magistrates. Submission is a Christ-like quality. So that was last week. And last week I mentioned that men, husbands, are up next, and we are now on the hot seat. Men, things are about to get uncomfortable. Men, I believe in practice we all read verse 22, wives submit to your husband, and we like the sounds of that. And husbands use it all the time in their arguments. I'm the husband, I've spoken, this is how it's going to happen. Brothers, verse 22 is not for you. Verses 25 through 33 are. I will admit, I poorly understood this passage when I was first married and abused it. I hear of this verse being abused in the church all the time. Now, I'm sure most of all of you have watched the movie Princess Bride. It's a classic. Many of you love it. And there's a character in the movie that keeps using the word inconceivable. And the other character looks at him and says, "You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means." Men, we keep using the word head of the household. If you're using that statement in an argument with your wife, then I will say, just like in The Princess Bride, "You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means." So this morning, I'd like to look at verses 25 through 33, which is dealing with Christ-like authority in 2 points. First, the how and the why of this command in verse 25 through 29. And then second, Christ and the church in verses 30 through 32. So let's read verses 25 through 27 once again. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The first thing we must look at is this idea of headship. Wives are to submit and husbands are to lead or have authority. So this must mean something. So what does Paul mean? Well, first, I think what we should do is look at what headship does not mean. Headship does not merely mean source of authority. Headship does not connotate spiritual or personal superiority. Headship does not grant the right of arbitrary, selfish, prideful, or capricious rule. Husbands, you are to love your wives. Okay, men, if you have ever used this argument with your wife, I'm the head of the household and this is the way it is, you need to look in the mirror and truthfully ask yourself, do I love my wife? And I don't mean romantic love. And I don't mean generic love. The word that Paul uses in the Greek is agape love. Agape love is a sacrificial love. It's a selfless love, a pure love. Agape love is not a feeling. It's an action. And just in case we try to minimize the word, Paul tells us what is meant by this love. Paul says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, think about that for a moment. Jesus, the Son of God, came down to earth, humbled himself, and served his sin-filled creature. He washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus served his people. And then Jesus went to the cross and died for his church, so that he could present to himself a glorious church. Men, we can be so careless. And we often forget what Christ-like headship is. Christ-like headship is not domineering. It's not just tossing out, I'm the head of the family, to shut down the argument in its tracks. Christ-like headship is dying to yourself and completely serving your wife. Completely serving your wife. If husbands were to look like Jesus, dying to self and loving their wives, do you think wives would have much an issue in submission if their wives looked like Jesus? They would know that everything that you do is for the sake of them. So we'll come back to the question again. What then is Christ-like authority or headship? Headship does have a sense of authority, but equally at the same time, it's an expression of service. Verse 26 and 27 may be a little confusing. We read of washing with water and the word, and which speak on baptism and the word of God. But what is Jesus doing? Jesus poured himself out for his bride, the church. Jesus loved sacrificially. Jesus did not live for himself, but he lived to serve his church. And he was teaching them and leading the church. He was leading them in himself, teaching them what it means to be holy as he is holy. Husbands, this is what headship looks like. It looks like Christ. I want to ask you, husbands, a couple of questions, and I want you to wrestle with them and answer them for yourself. First, am I leading my family to a better knowledge of God? Second, is my leadership self-serving or is it sacrificial? I mentioned before, just a moment ago, the domineering husband who states, I'm the head of the house, do as I say. Yes, that happens. And it's sad. It's not proper headship. But we have an even larger epidemic in our land these days. Husbands who advocate their role. What does advocate mean? It means to step down or give up. Husbands, you have a God-given role to lead sacrificially in your family and to lead your family to Christ. Husbands, do you lead your family in family worship? I know in the Dutch Reformed tradition, the father, the husband will read the Bible after meals. And to some of you, this may sound strange and foreign, but even for those who do read the Bible in their homes, is this simply tradition? Or is it truly your desire to lead your family in worship? Is your desire to lead your family in Christ, desiring that all would be have faith in Jesus Christ? And we could see this all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam was the head of the household. Adam was to lead his wife in the word of God, in righteousness. When Eve was tempted by Satan, what should have Adam, what should he have done? Adam should have stepped up as the leader of his household and told Satan to beat it. And Adam should have instructed and reassured his wife Eve in God's word and put God's word into the proper context. Adam should have led his wife Eve by looking to God and trusting in his word. But instead of doing that, Adam did not lead, and he participated in the same sin. The book of Hosea, that minor prophet of Hosea, is a wonderful book. In the book of Hosea, God speaks of Israel being the bride of Christ. And the bride, Christ's church, commits adultery. It's presented as prostitution. And we see over and over again in this prophecy, God leading his church. He is wooing his bride back to himself, even in her great sin. Husbands, biblical headship does involve eventually making a final decision at times. Ultimately, there needs to be one who does make a decision. However, this headship is sacrificial and loving. We're told in verse 27 that the work of Jesus as the head of the church is to present her to himself as a glorious church. Men, we are to glorify our wives. Not worship, not deify, but glorify. We're to labor as the head of our households to lead our family in Christ to Christ. We're to serve our wives. To be clear, glorifying your wife does not mean that she remains barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. Glorifying your wife is loving her, helping her and enabling her that she may use her gifts for Christ's kingdom. Does Christ, as the head of the church, say, Does Christ say to the church, now you are my bride, so whatever gift that you may have had, put that away now? No, Christ gives gifts to his bride, the church, so that we can exercise them. I'll just use a common example from the Reformed Church. I mean, please, I'm not picking on this. There could be dozens that I could choose from. It just happens to be prominent in the Reformed Church. If your wife's gift is not teaching, perhaps forcing your family into homeschooling is not a good way to lead your family. Where are your wife's gifts? And how can you encourage her to use them for Christ? Perhaps teaching may be a passion for her, and then praise the Lord. Also, my wife, Carola, she is way smarter than I am. Headship means listening to her, listening to her thoughts, considering them. Love is an action. Christ's love, on which the husband's love is to be modeled, never makes a person feel devalued or insignificant. Paul summarizes this thought by writing, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. This once again points us husbands to the fact that you're not complete on your own. Love your wife as your own body. It is your wife, after all, that completes you. So men, every time it runs through your head to use the phrase, I'm the head of the house, I need you to go back to Ephesians 5. And you need to ask yourself first, am I the husband that Paul writes on, living sacrificially? Do you consciously lead your family in worship? Do you lead your family to Christ? Do you put aside your desires for your wife? Jesus died for his bride. Are you willing to do so for yours? Quickly, we see that if you're going to toss out that argument, my wife is to submit, you better be able to say that you are loving your wife like Christ loves the church. Men, if we're honest, and I'm talking to myself here too, I'm going to use the word we. We fall so very short. And whether you are a wife learning to submit or whether you're a husband learning to lead, you need the love of Jesus Christ, do you not? You need a heart change that can only come from faith in Jesus. And it requires the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Pray that the Lord would equip you and sanctify you. These are heavy roles. Roles that we can't do on our own. But yet the Lord has commanded us to them. So we should go to the Lord in prayer often. So secondly, let's look at Christ and the church. We just looked at what Christ-like headship looks like inside of the marital union. But we must not think that this text is simply for husbands and not for unmarried men, or not for women for that matter as well. Paul is also explaining to us that this is what the church ought to look like. Marriage between a husband and a wife is one of the same picture of Christ and his bride, the church. The end of verse 29 and following, Paul writes, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Paul just finished writing that the husband is to love his wife just like his own body. And here Paul quotes from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, that the husband and the wife become one flesh. And this is where we get the picture of the church. When you are saved mightily by Jesus, you leave your earthly realities behind. You leave behind sin and the desires of the world. Just like when two become married, they leave their parents and they become one. And you are now joined to Jesus and you become one flesh. Jesus is the head of the church. And we together, those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, become part of his body. And this is such a glorious picture. We're told that no one ever hates his body but cherishes it. Husbands love their wives and cherish them as they're a part of their body. And the same is true for the church. Jesus in his work on the cross and his resurrection has joined the church to himself. Jesus loves the church and cherishes it as if it's his own body. And I want to go into this into a little more detail, but first I want to read to you from verse 32. Paul writes, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Paul is saying that the marriage union between one man and one woman is the picture of Christ and his church. So let's dive into this a little bit. Over the past several months, I have been speaking on the church quite extensively. And there's a reason for that. Because Paul has been. The church is not simply my hobby horse or the topic of my choice when I jump up on my soapbox. These days, people do not see the church as important, or they see it as just a spiritual construct. People see the church as a place you attend. People look at the church and ask, "What does the church offer me?" People shop around for churches like they would for a car. Brothers and sisters, I plead with you all. Increase your view of Christ's church. Because your Savior died for her. You may see the church as blemished and full of spots. You're not to see it the way we see it. We're to look at the church how Jesus sees the church. Because Jesus, our Savior, sees the church as beautiful. I keep preaching on the necessity of the church in being a professing member of her. Because that is what the scriptures teach. So let's look at this picture of marriage and how it applies to Christ and the church. First, we learn that God created marriage, that man and the woman would leave their own father and mother and become one flesh. What happens at a wedding? You make vows to one another, do you not? Do you think it's okay not to make vows to the church, to Christ? Then I'll ask you, is it okay for you then to just live with your partner without making vows? No. You're living common law. The church does not recognize in any way a man and a woman being married unless they make vows before God. and neither does Christ see his bride without vows. Christ covenants with his people. We don't have time this morning to look at the passages today, but all throughout the scriptures we read of God covenanting with man and man covenanting with God. And following, making these vows, what does this newlywed couple do? They leave their parents. This newlywed couple are a new family unit. When the Christian is wed to Christ, we need to leave our sinful past behind. And we are to join the body of Christ, the church. The old family does not have influence on you anymore. The bride no longer submits to her father, but now submits to her own husband. When we are called by Christ, our loyalties are changed. We're told in verses 22 to 24 that wives are to submit to your own husband. And we as the church are the bride of Christ. All of us are to lovingly submit to Jesus, who is the head of the church. We are to obey the word of God. We are to trust in the promises that are presented in the scriptures. We're to heed the warnings as submitting unto him. In these verses that we looked at today, we saw that husbands are the head of the household, but in that role, they have a high calling to love their wives. Just as Christ loves the church. Brothers and sisters, we are to indeed submit to Jesus as he is the head. But what a Savior! What a husband! Jesus loves his church dearly. Jesus poured out his life for his bride. He died for his bride, so that he would sanctify her and present her spotless. That is you if you have faith in him. And we are given the church. We're to be members of her because this is where Jesus has promised to pour out his love and mercy on the church. We're told that the gates of hell will not prevail, not against the individual, but the church. Paul is showing us our earthly marriages ought to reflect this heavenly reality, the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. I will ask you all this morning, what is your view on the church? Perhaps some here distrust the church. Some here were hurt by the church in the past. Some here saw sin being turned a blind eye to in the church. Yes, these things are sad and horrible. However, that does not mean we can turn our back on the church either. There is no plan B. There's a joke, and that Jesus is speaking with his disciples and says to them, I'm going to do all this glorious work of salvation, and I'm going to do it in and through the church. And the disciples stand around in a group looking silently at each other and then look at Jesus and say, so what's your plan B? Brothers and sisters, there is no plan B. The church is the place where our Lord has promised to work, and he will do so. So let's keep our eyes fixed upon him. So as we conclude this morning, Paul brings us back to the initial discussion. Paul brings us back to the fact submitting and headship are all rooted in Jesus. Submission is rooted in God's gracious plan of salvation. and headship must be an imitation of Jesus' own headship. Paul writes in verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Husbands, there are two areas we fall. The first is that we're either domineering in our marriage, or secondly, we abdicate our responsibility. Let us look to Christ. We are to love our wife as Christ loves the church. And there is no greater love than that. There is none. We are to sacrifice and serve. We are to lead our wives and our children in holiness. This is a huge responsibility. Remember, the church, God's people often and still do go astray. Often the church does not listen and has drifted into idolatry. This role as headship is large and requires prayer and humility. Wives, you are to respect your husbands. Unfortunately, your husband is not Jesus. He's not perfect. He will fail. He's not going to look like a serving Savior often. But you're still called to submit. Not for your husband's sake, but for Christ's. You're to be a helper. Remember, you complete him and he you. Again, this is not easy. None of what I'm saying is easy, so don't get me wrong. To submit requires prayer and humility. To lead requires prayer and humility. I wish I could have presented these verses more succinctly. But I pray where I lacked, the Holy Spirit will work. I pray what you see is your need for Jesus. Husbands and wives, we are united to Jesus, who is our head, and he perfectly loves us. So let us leave here rejoicing in Jesus and thank him for all the love that he bestows on his bride, the church. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us in our roles of husbands, wives, as members of your church. Lord, you know that we find submission hard. You know that we find proper headship by self-sacrificing love difficult. Lord, work in our hearts that we would fully rest on you, in you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, who is our true husband, who gave himself for the church. Help us as the church to submit to Jesus, submit to his word, to trust the promises and to heed the warnings. We pray that our lives and our marriages would be testimonies of your great love. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing in response together from our red hymnal 365, "Unless the Lord the house shall build," 365.